as we meditate your word, may we hear your voice in this morning, Lord. May you touch us, help us feel closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know much about fairy tale persons, per se. Mostly because culturally, in the Dominican, yes, we have some folk tales that we hear as we grow up. But I don't think we are much of a culture in the Dominican where we have like the little children's books that our parents read to us, and like, we don't have the little stories. But then, having been able to see a different culture in the United States after moving and relocating here, and knowing some of the stories that are so popular that even made the big screens and the TV and things that we have seen, I couldn't avoid to think about this story as I was preparing the sermon. If you look at the picture, some of you might be familiar with this one. This is Cinderella. And so Cinderella is a classic tale about this young woman, this young lady who lived with her stepmother and her terrible, terrible, terrible stepsisters, who were really mean to her. I don't know if you have watched the film or read the book in any of this form, but if you have, you probably remember what I'm talking about. And at some point in the story of Cinderella, a fairy godmother appeared to her and said, "Hey, I am willing to help you. Now, I'm going to take you and I'm going to make sure you go to this dance where the prince is going to be, and you're going to have a beautiful dress, and you're going to have your shoes, and then you have to conquer this prince so that he falls in love with you. And then, but the only thing is you have to be back before midnight." And so it was closing midnight, and then she had to run away, and in her trying to run away, one of her shoes falls off, and she escapes, and the prince, who was almost falling in love with her, grabs the shoes and then tries to find the woman who his shoe belongs to in all the kingdom of it. He finally finds her, and then she becomes someone very special. And as I was researching, I was like, what is the origin of this story? Where does this story come from? Well, Cinderella is a French folk tale that was adapted through generations. You know, we have there's thousands of variants actually, but then the most classic one is the one that Disney used for their movie. And I was like, is any of this story true? Is any of this thing true that I'm looking at? Actually, the story of Rhodopis is recounted by the Greek geographer Strabo. And it was told sometime between 7 BC and 23 AD. And it's about a Greek slave girl who marries the king of Egypt. And it's usually considered to be the earliest known variant of the Cinderella story. So there's some truth to this story that I wasn't even aware of. I was like, well, yes, it's a folk tale. Someone probably was using their imagination. What a beautiful story. There's some truth there. Actually based on something that probably happened. As a language teacher, because I have become a language teacher, there's something that we do with fairy tales and classics in literature, and this is one of the stories that we like have to see and probably like teach a lesson about it. And we have to teach the students not only, hey, this is not just a story that's beautiful and you can read in a book or you can watch a film on it, but there are moral lessons that you can find and you can see in this story. And as you start like preparing the lesson, you teach them strategies to read and to find the language and to find the different good things you can learn about the story. And undoubtedly, one of the things that you can learn in the Cinderella story is kindness and inner goodness, and that those things are rewarded, because Cinderella was a good person in comparison with the stepsister that were terrible to her, but she's the one that gets chosen by the fairy godmother to go to the dance, and she's the one that gets chosen by this prince, and he marries her. And it's just the story of, like, yes, if you're good in comparison to other people, you're going to be rewarded. And what a beautiful moral lesson to learn from that story. But as you have conversations with the children of their learning, say, what if I don't get chosen? What if I am good and I'm still not sure? What if I'm doing everything right? What if I have inner good inside me and kindness? And so you come to the Let me put this mirror in front of you so you can look at yourself. These are all the things that are wrong. And possibly because of that, we're most likely to be lost. So he warns about the consequences of leaving God and walking away from God, and kingdoms coming and invading and slaving them and taking the people of Israel because they didn't obey God. But then he also says, "But hey, there's a king coming. There's a king who is coming, and this person is coming out of Bethlehem." And so, what was going on? 10 human beings per mouth. It is not I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you and teach you what to say. And so in Moses' story, we see God choosing people who may or may not be worth it, who may or may not feel like they are able to do what God is asking them to do, who may or may not have a mindset willing to go and do what God is asking them to do. Yet, God finds them. God tells them, hey, I am choosing you. I am going to go with you. I will keep my promises. God doesn't care what we think. He knows our promises. And He still chooses us. Many other biblical figures were chosen by God. Isaiah felt sinful. God told him, it's like, hush, I can't go. I am so simple. Peter denying Jesus. Paul, a persecutor. He was persecuting the Christians. And so on and so forth. We can go through the list and make countless sermons of how God chooses people who often feel unworthy, who often don't understand their values. Yet, it is God choosing the humble. Something else we can see in Micah and in Matthew is that God, the fulfillment of prophecy, God gives a promise to fulfill His promises. And when we start looking at the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation, we see how many promises are fulfilled, and God has been faithful in keeping His word, and those prophecies have come to pass. And particularly in the book of Daniel, and the prophecy of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, understanding. He said, I don't care how small and worthless and insignificant you think you are yourself. I am going to take your place. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world by the holy and blameless in his presence. He chose us. He decided, he knew that at some point we would like hit the bottom and be worthless and feel worthless, but he chose us before the foundation of the world. And so, to close in this morning, doesn't matter how small, insignificant we feel, we think we are. Desire of, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12, beginning of 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and patience. But again, that is as well as God's chosen people. I understand that sometimes it's difficult to see our worth and our value, and to see our purpose in life and why we have decided to follow God and follow Jesus and to be Christians. And so we feel so worthless that sometimes we feel discouraged and we don't even want to keep doing what we're doing. We are God's chosen people. And he's asking us to close ourselves with compassion and kindness, with humility, understanding that yes, maybe we might be worthless, but God, he has taken our place. And we see this coming, like, what did people in the Bible do when they were called? Little story of Christmas, where when Jesus was going to be born, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 4, the angels appeared to the shepherds. And who were the shepherds? Poor people taking care of shepherds and the people. The in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in the Christmas story, where God chooses Bethlehem for Jesus to come and to be born, what a beautiful story we see every year. And we meditate on it, and we sing, and we celebrate with our families and whatnot. But we are also celebrating the story of redemption. We are also celebrating Jesus coming to us, the worthless, still going to continue.